This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I did not know that if I forgot what my little code card is for going to the supermarket, that I could punch in 867-5309 and it would work to get me the discounts that I need to know. But that's what you get on this show from Raj Groves just moments ago. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. If you forget your card, use that phone number. Dial it in. Add your area code. Bingo, bango, bongo. You got $20 off. Whatever it is. Carlin on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Last night, Sam Darnold looked like an amazing quarterback. He's going to be the MVP of the NFL. Oh, my God. Can we please stop? I mean, it's been a nice start for Sam Darnold, and everybody just looks at this situation, and I get it. What do? We always overreact to what we see in the moment. I'm as guilty of it as anybody, but I feel great while he's playing terrific for him after seeing what Darnold went through in New York for the longest time. But it doesn't mean it was the wrong thing to move on from him, and it doesn't mean that Zach Wilson's going to be a mess in New York. More importantly, though, for the Panthers, he's playing very well, and they need that right now as they lost Christian McCaffrey last night. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Panthers, we're going to get to your calls here in just a few minutes on Darnold, on the matchup this weekend with the Rams and the Buccaneers, and whether or not the Rams actually have enough to get it done against Tampa, even at home. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Want to get your takes on last night, what you saw from the Panthers. Are they actually a good football team, or is this just a product of a couple of suspect opponents in the first 3 weeks of the year? Darnold was a big part of it. Don't get me wrong. Throwing for 300 yards for the second consecutive week is pretty impressive. He's only thrown for 3 touchdowns. He ran for a couple last night. He also has just 1 interception this season. He got hit early in the game last night, had 2 fumbles, and you started to wonder, okay, is this going to be now where Sam goes downhill and starts to relive what he went through in New York? Will this be a PTSD situation for Sam Darnold, considering how little protection he got in New York? This was the most important development last night for the Carolina Panthers and for Sam Darnold. Once he got past those 2 moments, he put them in the rearview mirror pretty quickly. And there was no genuine concern after that for him then letting one mistake lead into another, then into another and another. He was able to put it behind him quickly. Granted, it's the Houston Texans. They're bad at football. But at the same time, he was able to get it done when it wasn't an ideal situation, when everything wasn't perfect. And it shows you the value of having actual talent around a quarterback. It shows you how difficult it truly is to evaluate somebody when they don't have great talent around them, or any talent around him for that matter. Now, the Jets felt like Sam was a good quarterback and in time would be able to show that. And there was full-on acknowledgement that he never had much to work with. But remember one thing. He wasn't this GM's draft pick, and they had the opportunity to reset the clock, as we say these days, on paying the quarterback and having a contract that was much more manageable for the next few years and hopefully getting comparable play from Zach Wilson. Darnold, for his part, is in an ideal situation, and it's not just because of the offense. We'll explain in a moment. First of all, here's Matt Rhule on what he's seeing from Darnold. Exactly. He is still willing and able to be able to put the last play behind him and still keep his eyes downfield. And that was something that Troy Aikman talked a lot about last night with Davis Mills. But perhaps even more impressive, it was there for Darnold. There's also one thing that we're forgetting. The surgery that Sam Darnold had in the offseason, when he had the 185-pound growth that is Adam Gase removed, that has gone a long way toward him playing much better this season. Adam Gase is a quarterback killer, and I feel for him in that he was thrust into two situations and was able to talk his way into two situations and get help from Peyton Manning to be a head coach when he wasn't fully equipped to do it. And he took two quarterbacks with Ryan Tannehill and Sam Darnold and wasn't able to develop either one to any sort of a satisfying level. Meanwhile, Tannehill under Ryan Gase, under Adam Gase, when you think back to the Miami days, he was hurt quite a bit, but in the time that he was there and when he played, he threw 36 touchdowns and 21 interceptions. Since he got away from Adam Gase and went to Tennessee, 56 and 14. Sam Darnold had the same problems over the last 2 years with the Jets, and he has gone down to Carolina and has played very well with the talent around him. But he has been helped exceptionally as well by the defense of the Carolina Panthers. You know, we need to pay attention to this. Yes, they lost Christian McCaffrey last night. That hurts a lot. They lost J.C. Horn, their outstanding young corner, last night, and that hurts a lot. But the Carolina Panthers' defensive front and their pass rush is as good as anybody's in football right now. Hassan Reddick has had 1.5 sacks in each of the first 3 games this season after he really broke out last year and finally started to become the player that the Cardinals thought they drafted. Brian Burns has a sack in each of the first 3 games. This is always a universal truth in football. A great pass rush can really, really mask other deficiencies on your football team very well. Deficiencies in the secondary or in the linebacking core, or for that matter, even on the offensive side. Because if you can force a turnover with either a strip sack or forcing a bad decision or forcing teams into third and long, you're going to go a long way toward making things easier to win football games for your offense. And that's what the Panthers have going right now. As far as Christian McCaffrey, he's down with a hamstring. The latest that we have was from Matt Rhule last night after the game. This is him really not telling us a whole lot. He's moving around. He can walk. All right, that's a good sign, I imagine. But when it comes to a hamstring, there's a lot that you don't know, and that's the point. And there's a lot that you will not know moving forward. And as we talked to Field Yates about earlier, the number one thing you're looking for is any sort of actual solid information that comes out about this injury, as opposed to speculation, which is what we will get plenty of over the next few weeks. This weekend, some great games. Some absolute great games in week 3, and we start with the Bucs visiting the Los Angeles Rams. They are 1-point favorites on the road, and this started with the Rams actually favored by a point. So that tells you how much the line has moved in the favor of the Buccaneers. You know, Tampa is the team that I felt all along, and I know a lot of people felt all along, had the best chance to go undefeated this year. And from front to back, because when you get 22 starters back off of a world championship team, and you have a really good defense to go with an excellent offense and playmakers all over the place, it's a golden opportunity for you, right? Well, that defense has not been that great to start the year, if we're being honest about the situation. And now the news that Jason Pierre-Paul will not play on Sunday certainly helps them, or certainly hurts them from a pass rush standpoint. And Antonio Brown on offense will likely not play, although that one would not concern me as much, considering the other weapons that they have to throw the football to with Godwin, with Mike Evans, with Gronk. There's still plenty for Brady to work with here. From a Rams perspective, I've told you, Matt Stafford is going to be the MVP of the league. But this is not about Matt Stafford on Sunday. This is about the Rams defensively and their two stars on that side of the ball. If you've watched Aaron Donald the first couple of weeks of the year, he could be right there with Chandler Jones, who had 5 sacks in the game a couple of weeks ago, to lead the league in sacks. But he's actually had a couple get away from him. This is one of those games where Aaron Donald has a chance to once again establish himself as the best defensive player in all of football, just to remind everybody. It's a game where you're going up against a very good offensive line, and you have a chance to rattle Brady. And when have teams been able to have the best success in really making Tom hurry up into decisions and rattle him? When they have gotten pressure up front, right up the middle of a defensive line. And Aaron Donald does that. That's his specialty, obviously. So if he is in Brady's face a lot, if Sebastian Joseph Day picks up some of the crumbs there and is in Brady's face a lot, because those opportunities will present themselves, being as good as Donald is, then they're going to have a real golden opportunity to force some mistakes. And that's where Jalen Ramsey comes in. Jalen Ramsey is the best corner in the NFL. Do we now elevate him to the next level of the elite of the all-time great corners? Games like this do that. And there will be opportunities for him here. I am interested to see how much Brady will go out of his way to stay away from him. But when you have the receivers that Tom does, it's likely you're going to do everything you can to get them all involved. I don't think he'll stay away from him. And if he does, watch Jalen Ramsey start to float a little bit. Watch them maybe move him onto one of the other receivers so that Brady has to account for him on every play and he's not just on one side of the field. I got news for you. Rams are going to win Sunday. Rams are going to win Sunday. As much as I feel like the Bucs would have the best chance, the Rams will be the better team come Sunday. And then there's Justin Fields getting his first career start against the Cleveland Browns. I have to tell you, I'm excited for this, and I'm also worried for this. This could be one of the ugly, ugly openers for a quarterback in their first career start when you know who you are going against with that defense and the current situation with the Bears' offensive line. If you weren't aware, the current situation is this. It's non-existent. I've heard about the Bears' offensive line actually existing, similar to Bigfoot, but I've never actually seen it. So with that in mind, I worry about him getting hurt in a game like this. While Matt Nagy wants to say that his quarterback, when healthy, is going to be Andy Dalton, I do believe here in the next couple of weeks, Dalton won't be able to get back on the field because of how Justin Fields plays. This week will not be the week to ride with Justin Fields and the Bears, because you're going to Cleveland. And I don't believe for a minute that he's going to be able to play well in this particular situation. Also factor in this, he's going back to Ohio, which is where he spent the last 2 years of his career, not too far away in Columbus. So there are a bunch of storylines tied in there with Fields that don't necessarily make me feel great about this matchup on Sunday. Meanwhile, Odell Beckham Jr. is coming back for the Browns. And Kevin Stefanski said that he will make his season debut, good to go. He will start who, of course, is coming back. Odell, of course, coming back from the torn ACL. So what exactly does that mean? How much of an impact does he have right away? Here's Keyshawn Johnson this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on the topic. Odell Beckham coming back is a situation to monitor, but it's impossible to expect him to be dominant right away or to be anywhere near the player of a couple of years ago right away. And it's unfair to expect that. Saints and the Patriots, this is another very good game. And what does Bill Belichick have in store for Jameis Winston? Which Jameis Winston is it? We touched on this a little bit yesterday. Is it week one Jameis or is it week two Jameis? I want to see what Belichick is going to do to mix things up on Winston, because to me, this has a chance to be a lot more like week two than it was like week one for Jameis. And the Chargers and Chiefs, please do me a favor. Show your love. Show your love for the Los Angeles Chargers. They deserve the love. They want the love. They need the love. They're a good football team. And while they're going to Kansas City, and we know how loud Arrowhead is, at least admit this. As great as the Chiefs are, they play close games. And there's a chance, after they lost this past week, yeah, they'll be fired up. And it's an incredibly great matchup because the Chargers are an underrated team to me. I got this for you. The Kansas City Chiefs, come Sunday night, are going to be 1-2. Did I stutter? I did not. I did not. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, as always, presented by Progressive. My friends, we need to hear from you on your games this weekend. On Sam Darnold and the Panthers last night, are they for real right now? Are you going to ride with me? Can the Rams beat the Buccaneers on Sunday? Are you going to believe in the Los Angeles Chargers like I am? Am I insane for picking the Chargers to win outright in Kansas City? We've already proven I got nothing to lose. If you need to come at me, you can come right at me on Monday here. Or, you know, maybe you won't. I don't know. Sam Darnold was in the zone last night on Thursday Night Football. In the Zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. You know what else? This saga that will come to a head next Sunday is really starting to heat up with Tom Brady going back to New England. And we haven't even gotten to this week's game yet. Next, the GOAT responds. And I can't believe I just used the word GOAT. God, I hate that. But the man is what he is. 5G is here, people. But the big carriers, they want you to sign a pricey, long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no, not anymore. Because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract, and get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299 a month, all on America's best networks. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your matchups, your teams this weekend. It is all next. Get on the lines. Plus, we hear from Brady himself on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. One Hit Wonder Friday. I guess that fits the milieu, if you will. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is your Dr. Pepper call-in line. In 3 minutes, we hear from Tom Brady responding to Alex Guerrero's comments and everything that has been said leading up to his matchup next week with the Patriots in New England. First, though, Mason in Utah is up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Mason, you're on ESPN Radio. What's up?
Hey, Chris. Hey, I know you've talked a lot about it, but I just wanted to agree with you talking about the Chargers-Chiefs matchup. You know, I don't think enough people are talking about week one. In my opinion, you know, one, one missed opportunity with a punt that was obviously not punted with a fumble. Had that not happened, I think the Chiefs are 0-3. And looking at that division, Broncos are going to get a win. Raiders are going to get another win. I think the Chiefs potentially might not win that division.
You know, to your point about what happened, and I'm not going there yet, and thanks for the call. I am not going to bet against the Chiefs winning the AFC West. However, if the Chargers can avoid that one costly mistake, such as that dropped snap on the punt a few weeks ago, or the fact that he didn't punt it at all, which he still should have, from the Browns. You know, that intimidating environment can lead you to that kind of mistake. If the Chargers are unbothered by that and they don't make that crucial mistake and Justin Herbert doesn't make that crucial mistake, they absolutely will win that game on Sunday. I believe they will win. Donovan's in Virginia. Up next, Donovan, what's going on? You're on ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, I think the most intriguing game this weekend is the Vikings versus Seahawks, because if the Vikings win this game and the Packers lose, they'll be tied for first in the division. And the Vikings have an underrated high-power offense, just like the New York Giants. If the New York Giants can win these next two games and win their division as well as the Vikings, I got the Giants and the Vikings making some noise in the playoffs, man. Just because the Giants have a high potent offense, and if they go four wide and put Kadarius Toney in the slot, they will average 30 a game, man.
Well, you're talking about, first of all, and thanks for the call, you're talking about two 0-2 teams, the Vikings beating the Seahawks, yes, at home, but still, I fully 100% believe the Seahawks are a better team than the Vikings. And did you just say the Giants in the playoffs? Is that what you just said? Because if you're looking at what's happening in the first couple of weeks, they look like anything but a playoff team. We could say how they should have won this past week on Thursday Night Football, but they didn't. And that's ultimately what matters. The Giants needed to go 3-0 to start the season to even have a shot at going to the playoffs this year. Sean in North Carolina is next. Sean, you're on ESPN Radio.
Hey, boss. So I did, it's funny because you were talking about Sam Darnold. My dad is a huge Jets fan, has been since they were the Titans. I'm a Panthers fan because I had to get away from the Jets as quick as I could when I was a kid. But I was cautiously optimistic, and now I'm actually pretty surprised at how he's doing for us, because it would kind of be like taking table scraps that even a dog didn't want. I'm like, if the Jets don't want him, why would we want him? But I'm pretty impressed. What really worries me is he relies too much on McCaffrey and the breakaways that he gets when he runs. If he tries that in a couple weeks against the Eagles, there's a good chance he might die. I don't really know what to do with Sam Darnold.
After having watched him here for a few years, Sam's not a terrible quarterback. But when you understand that he had absolutely nothing around him and now he has actual weapons, McCaffrey aside, we're talking about DJ Moore. We're talking about Robbie Anderson. When he had Robbie Anderson for that year in New York, they really started to build a really good chemistry. And then Anderson was let go to Carolina, and they were able to give him a decent sized contract that the Jets were not interested in giving him. Look, Sam's going to be okay for that team. The most important thing to remember about why he's not a Jet has a lot to do with resetting the contract and giving the Jets a chance to not have to pay the quarterback for a couple of more years, giving them a chance to spend that money elsewhere. And if Zach Wilson gives them representative quarterback play with inside of a year, well, then they're going to be right there with a chance to really do something before they have to. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. So Alex Guerrero, we discussed quite a bit yesterday, his comments about how Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's relationship started to deteriorate because Brady matured and Belichick kept treating him like the 20-year-old quarterback as opposed to the 40-year-old quarterback. Here was Tom, who was asked about that yesterday with Guerrero's comments in his press conference. And he already has so far. But the real interesting thing to keep an eye on here, what now comes from the Patriot side? Because you know something is coming in the next few days that will make Brady not necessarily look as angelic as he does. You know it is coming before that matchup next week. Whether it's something leaked, Seth Wickersham has a book coming too. Remember that as well. Maybe something will come from that. It's an intriguing situation. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. As always, all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Up next, so how long is Christian McCaffrey going to be out? We've got an update, and we're going to tell you in just moments. Plus, it is a major, major weekend in the American League wild card race. Three teams for two spots. Pay attention. It's a biggie, and it's coming this weekend. If there's a game someone's betting on, it, stream season two of Better Days, the Mike Greenberg-hosted series that brings the true stories of unforgettable gambling adventures to life. All episodes are now streaming only on ESPN+. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Hey, Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey out, quote, a few weeks with the strained hamstring that he suffered Thursday night at Houston. That, according to a league source confirming to ESPN, out a few weeks. So you'd have to think that's probably at least three and maybe four for McCaffrey. But that is, I would call that reasonably good news because you don't know just how bad the hamstring could be. So when you say a few weeks, to me that means three, maybe four. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Tune in for a football doubleheader on Sunday. It is the Saints taking on the Patriots, followed by the Seahawks and the Vikings. Coverage begins at noon Eastern time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Huge weekend in Boston. If you're not paying attention to the American League wild card, you've got Yankees Red Sox in Boston. It'll be Sunday Night Baseball, by the way. And right now, here's how it stands. The Yankees are in the second wild card spot behind the Red Sox, who are in the first wild card spot. And the Blue Jays right now are a game behind the Yankees in the loss column in the wild card. So with the Yankees in Boston this weekend, Gerrit Cole on the mound against Nathan Eovaldi to start that, you'd think, well, this is with 9 games, 10 games left, an ideal situation for the Yankees because after this, they go to Toronto, so they get to play the two teams that they are trying to lock down a playoff berth against. Here's the really tricky part. The schedule for the other two. The Red Sox, they go to Baltimore, and then they go to Washington. So they basically stay in the Baltimore-Washington area against two bad baseball teams. Two bad baseball teams. And then the Blue Jays, they right now have the Minnesota Twins, who, yes, did win last night, but at the same time, it's still the Twins. And then after that, they have the Orioles. So the Yankees, even though they find themselves in the second wild card spot right now, a game ahead of the Blue Jays in the loss column, they are in some trouble. They need a massive weekend in Boston. You cannot afford to lose 2 out of 3. If you lose 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, you might be close to dead unless you absolutely pound the Blue Jays. But even then, they've got work to do. And they've got the, not that they have work to do, but they have the favorable matchup against the Orioles. Guess who the Yankees close up against? The Rays, who, yes, will have very little to play for when it comes to the division, but have still said they have things to play for with getting the number one seed and moving toward the World Series. They are thinking much bigger, and trust me when I tell you, there is not much that the Tampa Rays would enjoy more than sticking it to the Yankees and keeping them out of the postseason. That is Sunday Night Baseball. As we said, the pitching matchups this weekend, it's Colin Evaldi tonight. It's Nestor Cortez, who has been a revelation for the Yankees. He will pitch on Saturday against Nick Pivetta. And then on Sunday, it will be Jordan Montgomery and Eduardo Rodriguez for the Red Sox. So that is a big, big game in New England's living room, big series, I should say, this coming weekend, and big game on Sunday night with Sunday Night Baseball. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So much great football this weekend, college and pro. A&M, Arkansas, very much looking forward to that. Notre Dame and Wisconsin in Chicago at Soldier Field. I'll tell you what, Wisconsin's 5.5-point favorites in that game. And Wisconsin's already lost a tough game, and they have not looked very good offensively. I understand that Notre Dame has not limped to 3-0, but they have not been amazing getting to 3-0 by any stretch of the imagination. That's going to be a tight one. 5.5? I don't know. That one's kind of calling out to me right now. It's kind of saying, hello, jump on the Irish, take the points. And trust me when I tell you, for me to take Notre Dame, that must tell you it feels pretty good, because I can't stand Notre Dame personally. 888-SAY-ESPN. The other thing this weekend, too, about all of the NFL football that really has my interest is not just Chiefs Chargers, not just what we talked about with the Bucks and the Rams, but also the possibilities that exist with some of the other 0-2 teams. It came up a few minutes ago about the Minnesota Vikings and about how this could be a big game for them this weekend. There's no could be about it for Minnesota. This is a massive game for them against the Seahawks on Sunday. They have got to find a way to avoid 0-3, because if they go to 0-3, it's a wrap. You got the Packers and the 49ers, neither 0-2 teams, mind you, on Sunday night. But does Aaron Rodgers have enough to finally solve what the 49ers do to him defensively? He has consistently struggled out there when he plays in his home area of Northern California. The Giants this weekend have the Falcons, and the Falcons are an awful football team. The Giants cannot afford to go to 0-3, or they are absolutely dead in the water. And the Cardinals could be well on their way to 3-0 with the Jaguars. Going to be an amazing weekend. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio.